It's one thing to hear he can fix it. It's another thing to look at something still broke.
Dr. Tony Evans talks about the discouragement that sets in when it feels like the Lord has done us wrong.
One of the most difficult times to trust God is when he has let you down. And what you think he has told you has not occurred. In fact, it has only gotten worse.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of the Urban Alternative. The Bible teaches that God works everything together for our good, but it doesn't always feel that way. In fact, sometimes it's the exact opposite. Well, that's what Dr. Evans will talk about today as he tells us a story from John chapter 11. Let's join him.
There are those times in life when you want to do like a coach in a football game, and that is to throw a red flag in on God. For you non-football people, a red flag is called a challenge flag. You throw the flag out when you believe the referee has made a mistake, that he's made a bad call. He didn't call it right. So you want to challenge his call. And in fact, the whole point of a challenge is to reverse the call. And if the truth be told, many times in our lives, we want to throw a challenge flag out on God because we just don't believe like he's called it right. We believe he's made a mistake, and we want to throw out a challenge flag on God. That we don't say that because we don't know how other people gonna view it, but we feel it, that God has done me wrong. Perhaps it's not fair. I'm in this stage of life. Perhaps it's not fair. I'm childless. Perhaps it's not fair. I'm not been married. Perhaps it's not fair. My mate has walked away from me. If I was married, perhaps it's not fair that I lost a mate if I'm a widow or widower. Perhaps it's not fair that my job situation has not gone like I hoped it would, that I thought I would be in a different place in my career or with my economic situation. And I want to throw a challenge flag out on God. This is a bad call. My life is not where I want it to be. Well, this is the situation that this familiar story related to three singles, a family of singles, actually, in chapter 11 of the book of John. A certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, verse 1 says, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was the Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So the sister sent word to him, saying, Lord, behold, he who you love is sick. But when he heard this, he said, this sickness will not end in death, but for the glory of God, so the Son of God may be glorified by it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So these three people were not only related biologically, brother and sister, but they were related spiritually because it says they all love the Lord. And we're told the Lord loved them. Yet everybody in the family was hurting. Lazarus is sick. And as you'll see in a moment, the two ladies are struggling. They did what all good Christians are told to do. They called on Jesus. It says they sent word to Jesus to do something about the problem with a family member, Lazarus, who was sick. And they got some good news back because Jesus sent word in verse 4 that this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. But have you ever been in a situation like that? You're depressed, you're discouraged, and you get a word. The word was just the word you needed for the time you're in. You felt encouraged. You felt inspired. You felt like things are definitely going to be better because I just heard a word from the Lord. Verse 6, but when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Now, that's not what you want to hear. You don't want to hear, on the one hand, God saying, I got you. And then on the other hand, you can't find him. Because he hanging back on you. He delays. There are those times in our spiritual pilgrimage when we're disappointed with God. When what we heard This sickness is not unto death. And what we see don't match up. It's one thing to hear he's close. It's another thing to feel he's close. It's one thing to say he's a way maker. It's another thing to see him make a way. It's one thing to hear he can fix it. It's another thing to look at something still broke. Oftentimes we're caught in the disappointments of our faith, given the changelessness of our circumstance, especially when you think you've heard a word to encourage you. So he hangs back 2 days. So that in verse 11, we hear our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. We started off with Lazarus sick. Jesus holds back, now Lazarus dies. After they hear a good word, things actually got worse because he went from sick to dead. So, wait a minute now. Jesus, you told me you loved me. We love you. We heard a word from you. You hang back on us, and the good news I thought I heard when I heard the word has now gotten worse because the one who's sick is dead. But it gets even worse. Let me show you worse. Verse 15. Jesus says, I'm glad for your sakes I was not there. Wait a minute now, you can't be happy when I'm crying. You can't be positive when I'm living in a negative. You can't be excited when I'm discouraged and depressed. But Jesus says, not only did I delay, not only did things get worse, but I'm glad I was not there. Now, they had just lost a love, a relationship, a brother. And Jesus was nowhere to be found. Martha, the spokesgirl for the group, expresses her disappointment. She throws out her challenge flag. Verse 21. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Translation, where were you? That's the question. Where were you? You were not here. You know, we can pretend that to know Jesus and to love Jesus means you don't get sick. We can pretend to know Jesus and serve Jesus means you don't get depressed, discouraged, have headaches, heartaches, get fired. We can pretend that, but the reality is that's not real. It's not real. And so we could lie and just kind of whip you up to go back to the real world. But we're hearing a real life story and real life pain and real life in the lives of Martha and Mary and Lazarus. Sick people do die, and godly people do get discouraged. And so she's honest with God. I love her honesty. Where were you? Because if you had been here, I wouldn't be in this condition I'm in right now. Jesus then gives her another sermon, so to speak, in verse 25. I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. She said, yeah, I got that. Yeah, I got that. She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God who comes into the world. I got the belief. In the meantime, her sister Mary comes out. And Mary says, therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him and fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now, that's the same thing Martha said. I mean, this is the exact same thing. So these two sisters in their small group had discussed this, and they had come to a common conclusion. God has disappointed us. You can't say that to everybody. Everybody won't understand that. It's got to be somebody close enough spiritually. And so she comes to the Lord and she says the exact same thing that Martha says. If you would note back in verse 20, Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary stayed at the house. Because Mary not talking to Jesus right now. Mary ain't not feeling Jesus. She ain't feeling him. Tell the truth. Sometimes you ain't feeling the Lord. You ain't feeling him. He's broke your heart. because you heard some good news and things became bad news, and so I'm staying home. I ain't going to church today. I ain't feeling Jesus. I ain't going to hang out with Jesus right now because Jesus let me down. She gets her composure a little bit later, and then she finally comes to Jesus and tells Jesus how she feels. Where were you?
We'll discover the answer to that question when Dr. Evans comes back to bring us to the main point of the story in just a moment. First, if your life as a single is going nowhere and the Lord doesn't seem to be showing up, our current featured resource is exactly what you need. It's Tony's brand new book, The Kingdom Single. It builds on what we're learning in our current series and focuses on ways to develop who you are, where you are. You'll discover that you're whole and complete just the way God made you, and learn to make the most of your gifts and talents, whether you wind up married or not. These are such important principles for unmarried believers that we'll send you a copy of The Kingdom Single as our gift in appreciation for any contribution you can make to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station. Just visit us online at tonyevans.org to get the details and make the arrangements. That's tonyevans.org, or call us any time of the day or night at 1-800-800-3222. I'll repeat all that information for you later on in case you missed it. Dr. Evans will come back with more of today's message right after this.
Whether you're facing a decision or a dilemma, it's smart to ask, what would Jesus do? But first you have to know what Jesus did and what God has to say about the situations you face. Well, if building your biblical foundation is your goal, the help you need is as close as your computer or mobile device, thanks to the Tony Evans Training Center. It's packed with online courses covering core concepts of the faith and in-depth scripture studies you can work through anytime you want, at any pace you want. Along the way, you'll explore key teachings and learn how to apply them in real-world situations. There's lots of exclusive content from Tony to keep you interested and motivated, and an online forum where you can ask questions, get answers, and collaborate with other students. It's almost like having a seminary on your smartphone. Visit TonyEvans.org today and connect with the Tony Evans Training Center, where you can explore the kingdom anytime, anywhere.
Of course, that leads us to the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept, verse 35. He cried with her because she's crying and sad at the loss of her brother and the disappointment of Jesus. That leads to the most important thought. Jesus comes to the tomb, verse 38. He says to Martha, "Remove the stone." The sister of the deceased said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he has been dead 4 days." I know what she's thinking, which wouldn't have been the case if you would have gotten here when I talked to you the first time. Note what Jesus says. "Did not I say to you that if you believe, you would see the glory of the Lord?" One of the most difficult times to trust God is when he has let you down and what you think he has told you has not occurred. In fact, it has only gotten worse. One of the most important times to trust God is when he has disappointed you and things have gotten worse, even though you have called on him and you have even believed you've gotten an answer from him in the affirmative. He said, "Did not I say to you, if you believed?" Jesus told her to remove the stone. So there's a stone in front of the grave. Martha gets logical. She gives Jesus a brief lesson in mortuary science. Jesus, he's been dead 4 days. That means rigor mortis has set in. That means the cells have collapsed. When the cells collapse and the body shuts down, it releases gases because deterioration is setting in. And the man stinks. Everything Martha said was true. That wasn't false information. That was correct biology. It was correct analysis of death. She wasn't wrong. But then Jesus tells her, "Don't let your truth overrule my instruction." My instruction was for you to remove the stone, although what I told you to do sounds ridiculous, a waste of time. It makes no sense. Just do what I ask you to do. Did not I tell you that if you believed, you would see? What Jesus tells her is, if you want to see it, you got to first believe it. But when I talk about believing it, I'm not talking about some ethereal mental ascent. I'm talking about moving the stone I just told you to move. In other words, I want you to believe with your feet right now. So here's the question I want to ask you today. Is there a stone you've not yet moved because of the logical reality of your situation? Because here's the principle. You will never discover what God plans to do in secret until you have responded to what he's told you to do. That's clear. God has a revealed will, that which he says, that which he declares. Remove the stone. That's a revealed will. Then God has a secret will. Deuteronomy 29:29 talks about the secret things of God, things that he doesn't say in advance. God's secret was behind the stone. But this single woman would never discover God's secret behind the stone until she did something with God revealed about the stone. Move it. So they removed the stone. Then Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but because of the people standing around, I said it so that they may believe that you sent me. Now watch this. Jesus's delay 2 days when he stayed and didn't come right away was because he was up to something bigger. So for all of you singles who are here today, God has a will. He has a plan for you. That plan includes the ordinary and the extraordinary, the everyday things and the things that only heaven could do. Those things are timed. Some you don't even think about because they're just part of the natural movement of life. Other things are because of the crisis of life and you need something from heaven. God has a will, he has a plan, he has a time. Many of the things that God has in his secret will, the things that are not evident, are tied to your faith. And by faith, I mean your belief that acts based on what God says. Not just the belief you hold up here, but the movements you make, the walking in faith that unleashes his secret will. Don't let this life pass without you discovering what he had for you in secret. Because you spent time so disappointed with God that you skip moving the stone, the thing in your life that he calls you to move. Because when he prayed, he cried out, verse 43, with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Guess what he just did? He took something that looked like it was dead. Because you know, when something dies, there's no hope. There's no hope for something that dies. It's over. It's dead. There's some singles here today whose dreams have died. I'll never this. I'll never that. Hope is gone. You know why Jesus hung back? He hung back and let Lazarus die so that folk could see what a resurrection looks like. Because you only get a resurrection with a miracle. That's the only way you can get a resurrection. Because when something dies, it's over as far as humanity is concerned. For some of the things you want, desire, and need, it's going to take a miracle. Because when you look at life and the natural doesn't offer you a solution. Could it be that God is delaying because he wants you to see what a resurrection looks like? Don't let that stone block your miracle. Don't let what you learned in college block your miracle. Don't let what your friends think, who do not know how to walk by faith, even though they may be talking true stuff, block your miracle. When Jesus spoke, he says, Lazarus, come forth. Now, he had to say Lazarus, come forth, because he said, come forth, all the dead would have gotten up. So he says, Lazarus, come forth. In other words, this is a specific miracle about a specific person related to a specific family. This is not something general for everybody, because you need to see God for yourself. You need him to call your name, be involved in your situation. And Lazarus comes forth.
Dr. Evans will come back in a moment with a final story about what God may be doing just for you and why it's worth waiting for. First, if you or somebody you know feels let down with the Lord, it'll help to review the full-length version of today's lesson, packed with material we didn't have time to bring you on the air. It's called Throwing a Red Flag Out on God. Or better yet, get this message as a part of Tony's current 8-part teaching collection, single, complete, and fully free. Either way, all the information you need is waiting for you at tonyevans.org. While you're there, don't forget to check out Tony's brand new book, The Kingdom Single. It's the perfect resource to pick up where our current series leaves off, digging deeper into your identity in Christ and offering strategies that will help you grow more confident, content, and focused. Don't forget, if you contact us before time runs out on Friday, we'll send this powerful new book as our thank you gift when you help us keep Tony's teaching on this station with a contribution of any amount. Make the arrangements today at tonyevans.org or call our resource center at 1-800-800-3222, where team members are standing by 24/7 to help you. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222. The goal of advertising is to steal your sense of contentment by convincing you that you need something, whether you actually do or not. Satan uses that same strategy. Tomorrow, Dr. Evans will talk to singles about recognizing that lie and grabbing hold of the truth. But he's back right now to wrap up today's lesson with this story.
I know all the numbers at McDonald's. I can quote it. I'm a number 9 guy. Number 9. I don't have to go through all that. I want this. I want that. 9. I've been there enough. I ain't going to tell you how much, but I've been there enough that I got my number down. But when I go with Sister Evans, it's an event. It's an event. Because McDonald's is driven by mass production. See, 9, 5, 4, whatever. They know what they know, okay? But that's not what she wants. She wants something McDonald's does not do. McDonald's is not geared for custom-made sandwiches. They're not geared for that. So when we pull up, she describes what she wants. That's not what they do. So inevitably, when she pulls up, they have to tell us to pull over. Because they got to make this thing up. They got to make this up. Because they're doing something special and not something regular, we got to wait. Somebody see where I'm going? Anybody can drive up and get regular, but you want something custom made for you. You want something that God has your name on it. And sometimes, like in the life of Joseph, that means you got to pull over while God hooks it up. So if you're wanting God to do in your life something with your name on it, and even though that may mean he delays a while because he's got to hook it up for you, you believe him, you follow him, you get some help from your posse to move the stone so that you can see what he had planned for you in secret. Because when he does it in secret and calls it forth, it'll be clear that this was a resurrection for which only God can get the glory.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative, and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.